promenade across the floor, sashay right on out the door, and into the glade, and everybody promenade.
You're tuned to the Square Dance Radio Network. Today's Wednesday, December 21st, 2011.
And you're listening to the Do-Si-Do Show, episode number 29.
Hi, I'm your host, Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland.
And I'm Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Hello, Square Dance community. Hello, Dale. Today we have the third part of our interview with caller Jerry Story.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the interview with Jerry and getting a chance to talk to him. And I like that he is very convicted about his opinions.
Yeah, and one of the things that's especially cool about him, he really knows his business. He's been in the business for so long, and he's a relatively young guy.
Right. Yep. So what did you do this past weekend?
Oh, it was a Christmas and otherwise holiday-filled weekend. I had a couple of holiday parties. I went to the Do-It-Yourself Messiah last night, and that was a lot of fun. And I've done some shopping and choir practice and singing in the church and all kinds of holiday-related things. How about you, Dale?
This past weekend, called a dance on Friday, played games all day Saturday in Philadelphia, and then attended a dance and birthday party on Sunday and came home just in time to watch two of my favorite teams lose.
So it was all really good right up to the end, right?
Oh, it was a great weekend. It was a very, very, very nice weekend.
Yeah, that's fun. Sounds great.
Yep. So the Square Dance Radio Network is just over 6 months old. It's been a good time, and we appreciate everyone for listening and your suggestions and support. But one of the main tenets is the growth of square dancing, so we'll be expanding here in the next month or two to include a show called The Recruitment Connection. Many of our listeners have written to us with recruitment success stories. We're very excited to bring those to you in the coming year. And while Square Dance Radio Network is free to listen to, unfortunately, is not free to produce. And we sure appreciate your help to offset some of our production costs. So if you're enjoying the shows, please consider clicking the donate button in the advertisers and affiliates section of our website on the right-hand side. Thank you. So who would you like to say hello to, Barb?
A little shout-out to some Square Dance friends, Jim and Pat Lowerson from Wisconsin. They've been listening, and they mentioned that, so I thought I should say howdy to them.
Excellent.
Yeah, how about you?
I called a dance on Friday night, so two groups of people. One to the listeners and the people that come up to me and say how much they enjoy the show and will occasionally come up and sort of whisper, I didn't know that about and, you know, saying that they knew about the show or listened to the show. And then also to my family and everybody in my family, and just want to say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I love you all whether I get a chance to see you or not.
Ditto. I echo that to your family and mine.
So here's the third part of our interview with caller Jerry Story. Let's get right into it. You had mentioned you'd mentioned Tony Oxendine. I see a lot of flyers go by that have the two of you on together. Can you talk about the two of you for a minute, how you met, how much you're working together, the Royal Records and whatnot?
Yep. In, I believe it was 1984, first time I saw Tony was at the Oklahoma National Convention, and he had a big old long ponytail and smoking a cigarette and wearing a canary yellow leisure suit, round dancing with a 13-year-old girl. And I thought, oh my God, who the hell is this guy? And we started hearing each other's name, bumping into each other in our circles. As our circles expanded, we started laughing over and hearing about each other. And finally, a family out in Columbus, Ohio, the mutual friends of both of ours, decided that it was time that we got there to get a weekend. So they set up a weekend in Columbus, and I drove out from Iowa. Tony drove up from South Carolina, and we got in a couple days early, and we practiced and had so much fun practicing. By the time the weekend got there, we were both hoarse and couldn't hardly sing. But that was first weekend, and then from there, we set up some other weekends, started our own record company, and the rest is pretty much history.
And did you grow a long ponytail and...
You start smoking.
Royal Records. You mentioned you started that in the mid-80s, and you pressed a lot of records, and I know my record case has a lot of the early early Royal records. I'm mostly Royal and Rhythm, although a couple of older Chaparral. So what is the Platinum series? Feel free to treat this as an advertisement. Talk a little bit about the Platinum series.
Let me tell you why it came about. We got to the point where it was costing us money to press the records.
Mm-hmm.
The sales were just down. The callers would wait, and they would, I would go in and I'd spend $20,000 producing 15 pieces of music, and the callers would like, maybe only one or two of them, even though they were all good, but they didn't want to spend the time to practice them or whatever, so they would just buy one or two. Well, there's no way we could keep our company going with callers just buying one piece of music here and one piece of music there, and the cost of vinyl going up. And so we had a choice. We could either fold up our company, or we could go in, do a session, package it up, everything in one bundle, and put it out on the market. It's either buy it all or don't buy any of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to belong to the membership club to get the deal, and after that you can purchase our old music at a discount, and you'll be able to get the Platinum Series every year, which is $150 plus shipping, and you get 15 singing calls and four or five hoedowns, whatever I can get done in a year's time. And, some of them they can't do, but like a lot of the guys say, it's what the cool thing is only 150, I think, was how many people we sold last year. And that's about what it takes for us to break even and continue to produce our music. But, like they say, if I get one song out of there that really sets me apart and I do a good job on, $150 is nothing for me to be able to go up and do that at a state convention or a special dance somewhere. So they're getting that idea. It's for the callers that are the movers and the shakers and that want something new and not the same old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So pardon my ignorance. I'm not a caller. Do you still press records, or do you also sell in MP3 format?
No vinyl anymore. We stopped pressing records.
Okay.
We do after a year's time with the Platinum. After they've had it a year, we start putting them out on our website in single pieces. In other words, if there's a particular song that, I'm just now getting ready to do all my CDs in Nashville for the 2012 Platinum. And there's a couple really good songs on there that somebody wants. If they're not a member, it could be a year and a half. It'll at least be January of 2013 before they could ever even start looking for any of this stuff that I've got recorded now for 2012 Platinum coming out. So, and then I'm not going to release all of them at once, so it could be summer to fall of 2013 before they all get out. So if a caller hears something he wants, the only way that he's going to get it is if he becomes a member and buys the whole lot.
I see.
But it's a pretty good deal. For a new caller that hasn't done it yet, if they say would buy 2012 coming up, they can then buy 2000. If they haven't been a member before, they can now buy 2011 for $50. That's a special price for members only. And they could buy all the other years prior to that for $25 for the entire year.
Yeah.
So now that's where the savings comes in, because, $25 for 15 or 20 pieces 30, of music is pretty cheap. Yeah.
That's great.
We're trying to come up with a way for us to make money and stay in business and also get a lot of good music out there the cheapest way possible to the callers and the consumers.
Do you play guitar on any of those?
Mm-hmm.
Do you play guitar on any of those?
No, I never was very good.
Never were very good. You had a boatload of students and
a band and a
and you knew three chords. Well, come on, what could possibly be better than that?
That's all things. I know the three chords, man. That's it.
That's all you need to produce a lot of good music.
That's right.
I was out on Facebook and came across some pictures of you in behind the board at a recording studio. How much hands-on are you with that work?
Well, I do everything except play the instruments and write their charts for them. I arrange everything and have everything written down and the charts sent into my head musician, and then he puts it in his lingo, and we sit down for about 2 hours before the session. I'll fly into Nashville, and we'll meet for lunch, and then go sit down and with his flat top and go over the songs, and they have their special codes that they use when they're charting their music, so he puts it in their special lingo and makes copies of it for all the band members, and we'll go in an hour later and cut the songs.
And how do you choose the music, the specific songs that you want to do?
Oh, to me, I guess I have my litmus test in my head. It's got to be, number one, a melody that is catchy, preferably a tune that people know, even better if they can sing along with it. But if they know it and they've heard it and it's a catchy melody and it's got a good hook line, a good tagline to it, good words, as long as I can get, you know, a half a section, that'd be, you know, 16 bars of a good chorus. I'm pretty much set. I can make a verse out of anything and splice it together and make it work. Some songs just won't work, but a lot of callers have trouble. I think anybody, it's not easy to tell if a song's going to work. I have a knack for listening to a song and saying, yep, that'll work. Nope, that one won't.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that'll work, but it's going to have a, you know, this, or it's not going to have that, or it's something that's just, after you've done it for a while, you know what to look for, which is great now. I'm producing better music now than I've ever produced in my life, but it's only because the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yep. And what do you enjoy most about making music?
I just love the thrill of putting it together. Start off with an idea and then wants to come all the way to the musicians playing it and being able to then take it to my next dance and perform it live. There's just absolutely no bigger thrill than that to me. And bringing new music to the industry and the songs that we brought to the industry that would have never got here. I just recorded a song by Chicago, the old song, Does Anybody Know What Time It Is? Nobody would have ever thought of square dancing to that, but by taking it and you know, I could find a nice chorus in it. All I had to do is splice together a verse, and we did, and it came out just excellent. But that's the nice thing with the modern technology today. It gives us such a nice variety of music. We've never had better music in the business, and it's so sad that we don't have a large audience of appreciation for it. But that's okay. You know, we'll take what we get. I just enjoy producing music.
So a couple of miscellaneous things. Somebody had mentioned that you have a radio show, or you were doing a radio show for a while recently. Is that, was I thinking of somebody else?
Must be somebody else.
Oh, okay.
I've done some radio things, but nothing on a regular basis.
Okay. Just in passing, I first encountered you. I started dancing in 80 and calling in 81, and first encountered you somewhere back before 84, and and so I'm from that era. And recently, my girlfriend of 2 years, we were going through some of her old pictures, and there, her name was Kathy Lynch, and there's you and Tony, and Kathy and her friend Jenny, all decked out at some convention, and with
really?
Your arms around each other, and I'm like, how do you know them? And she goes, what do you mean, how do I know them? I used to go to every after party in all the hotel rooms that they threw. I said, okay.
The good old days.
Moving on. I recently called with Butch Adams, and I think it was right before you came into town, and he mentioned, and I've seen a couple of pictures about you and the cast. Can you tell a little? Some people were asking about what happened to your leg.
I had some foot surgery there that last summer in August, and then I was still in the cast when I went up there in the latter part of August. It was the only gig that I had to fly, and I had scheduled that surgery because that was the only one, and I wasn't sure how I was going to get along, but, well, they made it nice and comfortable for me, and it was all right. I got up there okay, and they had me a big old nice lounge chair to sit in, and away we went.
Afterward, I saw Butch, I don't know, a month or so after you were up here, and he said you got so into it, even though you were sitting there, that you just started rocking, and he had to get behind the chair and hold it from you having so much fun. He's afraid it was going to fall over.
That sounds like my buddy Butch.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a good guy. I tell you, that's a strong leader.
Yep. Yep, very much. He's
very much so. Great guy.
Yep.
For Square Dancing.
So just a few more things. You've done a lot in square dancing. Mm-hmm. What would you say within the square dance activity, what would you say you're the proudest of?
Oh. I would guess the Association of Callers that I set up down here, even though that's not working now, it worked so well, and we did things that were so much out of character for the activity. I mean, actually, callers working together? Good Lord. I've never heard of such a thing. But it worked, and it worked so well, and it proves to so many people that how powerful that was when you got everybody together to work together. The things that you could accomplish was phenomenal. And then I think the Saudi Arabia, that deal for producing all those tapes that were spread all over the world and taught many, many people how to dance. And then the only other thing I think that I'm most proud of in my life was the gospel album that I recorded about 12, 14 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been spread all over the world. I feel like I have my own ministry. I have cards and letters from people that my album has touched them in some way or another. And it's pretty beautiful, really. So I would think probably that's my greatest accomplishment. That's not even anything to do with square dancing, but it's been part of square dancing because I do so many gospel shows on Sunday morning and weekends and things like that. And so many people have the CD, and it's just nice to keep in touch with them. And it's sad in a way because it's always a sad reason when they do write me, it's always, somebody passed away and we played your songs and blah, blah, blah. But it's so touching at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yep. Is there a way to get a copy of that CD?
Absolutely. If you'll just email me your address, I'd love to send you one.
Okay. We'll put that out. Actually, can you just read your email address for us so that everybody has the opportunity to...
Sure. It's jerrystory@aol.com. And the name of the album is Wings of a Dove.
Wings of a Dove.
Right.
Great.
Jerry, what is the most fun part of square dancing for you?
I think I love calling. I love entertaining the people more than anything. I love the choreography. I've got a good mind for the choreography. I love the choreography. But I think just the entertainment part. I when you grow up in entertainment, it's just in your blood. There's nothing better to me than to get up there and get a whole group of people just rocking, having a good time. That's the best.
Yeah, you can tell they love you when you have when you've given them a really good time at a dance, can't you?
Well, exactly, and there's just little subtle things that just by smiling. I mean, it comes through your voice. People don't realize that you can hear a smile, but you can.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true.
And, absolutely. And so, little things, and when it's suspicious, it's genuine, and you're having a good time, and you're smiling, that's going to come through even the sound of the, people don't have to look up on the stage to know that you're smiling and having a good time. It just comes through.
And as I said, I was looking through, to get ready for this interview, I was looking through a number of pictures. And it just seems like it doesn't matter whether you're with your grandkids or whether you're on stage or whether you're sitting having dinner and talking to people. Every one of those pictures, you've got this. Or you've got a blue wig on your head, for example. But every one of those pictures, you've got this big ear-to-ear grin. Like you just couldn't be happier and be, you know.
Life is good. I've got a beautiful wife and a beautiful family, and we're just moving along through life and enjoying ourselves. We hope that the economy turns around and everybody can get back to what they want to do, and school camping can move on for a little while longer. We've got a few more years. I don't want to see it quit yet.
Yep. So three final questions, and this one is one that we ask everybody. Feel free to take time to think about it. Tell us something that would surprise us about Jerry's story.
Well, I think it might surprise a lot of people, maybe not so much the dancers, but a lot of my peers, that I'm a devoted Christian, and I live my life for the Lord, and a lot of people would probably not know that, and I don't make that known, because I don't want to be judged, and I just want to live my life, but it means a lot to me, and it's how we stay grounded anyway, and in our family, and it's probably one of the biggest parts of our lives. So I would guess a lot of people wouldn't know that probably.
What can we expect from you in the future, personally or professionally? Anything new?
Oh, well, I think we're going to keep on keeping on what we're doing and traveling.
Okay.
And a lot of college schools, I think, is on the horizon. And hopefully we can get more grassroots college schools going. That's where my focus lies right now more than any. I just don't feel that we need a whole lot more of college schools to teach callers how to call advanced dancing. I mean, that's, when I got callers that's coming to school, and that's their main goal. They want to skip everything else and just oh boy. So I don't know. I'm kind of migrating back to the grassroots sort of thing. I think that's where you'll probably see a lot of my interests lie, and it does in caller lab as well. Try to keep them focused there. We're trying to, there's two different mindsets of people, we have the mindset of people that, and I understand it and I appreciate it. They want to have everything very technical and very precise, very all inclusive. Our words are good from basic through C3B and the super documents that we can produce and everything. And I'm not sure that that's the route that will prove to be the most beneficial to us. I keep thinking in my mind that the word KISS is where we want to go. We want to keep it simple.
Yep.
We have to keep it simple. And when people go to our website, they need to know that. When they go to the Call Out website, the very first thing they should see is, hey, square dance calling is easy. Let us show you this easy document. But we don't have an easy document. All we have is these big technical supplements that are hard to understand. And I think I just really sincerely feel that it's going to run more new callers, future callers off than it will get them to be interested in maybe having a hobby or career in calling square dance. If I looked at what we produced today, I was just getting started. Honest to goodness, it just scared me to death. I would never talk. And so that's a big focus in Caller Lab, trying to get these callers, and I love them to all to death. They're great guys. But a lot of them are very, very intelligent, and sometimes I think the most intelligent people make the silliest mistakes sometimes when it comes to a social activity. And I don't mean to be critical, but I am critical. And we need to focus on the new dancers and new callers. And that's really all we should focus on at this point in time, because I think if we do that, everything else will take care of itself. But if we keep alienating it and, turning our head the other way, doing the same things, expecting different results, I believe we're just going to keep sinking. But we'll see.
Well, Jerry, thank you very much for getting up this morning. I know you're going to be using your voice throughout the day today, so thanks a lot for sharing your thoughts and feelings with us. given us a lot to think about, a lot from your past that you've shared. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, and I enjoyed talking with you.
All right. All right, we'll see you at a dance somewhere.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye, Jerry. Thank you.
See you, Dale.
That concludes our interview with Jerry's story.
Yeah, that was great. Thanks, Jerry. One thing I like that he said was, well, you know, what do we expect from you in the future? He's just going to keep on keeping on. That's one of my phrases I liked.
Now, this was our final show of 2011. There will not be a show because of the holiday on the 28th, and we will resume in 2012, and we will also be getting the Recruitment Connection off the ground. So just wanted everyone to know there will not be a show, and we'll also put that information up on the website.
Gives everybody the chance to catch up on one or two of the ones they may have missed, should that have happened to anybody, I don't know.
What do you have coming up, Barb?
Big Christmas weekend, so lots and lots of family time and eating and maybe a few gifts in there, too.
Oh, great.
I presume yours is similar.
Yep. I'm going to be having Christmas with on Saturday. My daughter's coming over, and then on Sunday, just a nice quiet day, and then we'll be going to have dinner with friends. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Any final closing thoughts, Barb?
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. And if you don't celebrate Christmas, enjoy the holiday season.
I echo that. Happy holidays to everyone. Be safe, and we'll talk to you in 2012.
This is Barb Jarvis from Wheeling, Illinois. Goodbye, Dale. Have a good couple of weeks, everybody.
And this is Dale Hodge from Columbia, Maryland. Happy holidays. Ciao, Barb. Happy dancing, and we'll see you on the dance floor. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.